sing, I will sing, I will sing of his goodness and his kindness and his mercy. I will sing.
It's a simple song. Everybody join up and sing.
I will sing.
I will sing.
I will sing.
I will sing.
Bless you guys for joining me here at Harvest New Light Church and Harvest New Light Studios here in the city of Dallas. This is our Tuesday night review that we've been talking about a little earlier this past week, dealing with the area of dealing about the power of the vision. We're talking about that area that we talked a little bit about in the area. Well, just kind of sounded redundant here. We talked about Habakkuk. When God came to the Habakkuk, and he said, write the vision of Habakkuk on the wall to make a plain for all to see. Habakkuk began declaring the creed. As we go back to the first chapter of the book of Habakkuk, he began to complain about some of the people that was going on, what things was going on with people around him. And God began to declare to Habakkuk, saying, look, you need to stay in your lane. You need to go and write the vision on the wall, and make it plain for all to see. And that's what Habakkuk had to do. I'm telling you, woman and man of God, we got to deal with the vision of what God has given us and to stay in our lane. And know that God has always got a plan for us. Won't you stay with me here just a minute? We'll be dealing with some of the development of what Habakkuk talked about, having the actual development of a dream. We're going to kind of deal with the first five segments of the process of a desired dream. You know, God has told Habakkuk to write the vision, and you're also supposed to write your vision. Give me just a few minutes here. We'll let the music solidify itself. We're going to be right back with you guys, and we're going to hear what the Word of God has to say that's coming from the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Father God, we thank you and bless you for this opportunity to come before your throne on this Tuesday night. Father God, we thank you for the breath that's in each and every one of our bodies. Father God, even the comprehension hearing that we're here that's coming from the kingdom of God. Lord, bless this word as we go forth, Father God, and declare, decree that that what you are putting us, Father God, before we were born was already destined to prosper. And Father God, I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that you look over my mother, Lord. Touch her in the name of Jesus, every one of my sisters and brothers. Lord, I'm asking you to put your heavenly arms around them, put your guardian angels to guide them, Father God, through whatever circumstances they may be dealing with. Father God, I'm asking you to loosen the name of Jesus and let every listening ear come to the obedience, understand and realize that you're God beside you, there's no other. And Father God, I thank you for this opportunity right now, Father God, even as I begin to pray, Lord, and hear the word that's coming from your kingdom, Father God, grant me that what I need, Father God. Let me be that conduit to bring forth that which you have given me, Father God, according to the word of God, according to the precious power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I decree right now and I call this word to go forth, that it be a word that will not go back void, but has already accomplished all that therein. Father God, these things I speak not of myself, but let me be the very vessel to bring forth that word to your people, that they may know and understand and realize that you are a God that shall not lie, nor the son of any man that you shall have to repent. Father God, we thank you for this moment. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord, amen. Well, we got about 35 minutes to just kind of roll with you, dealing with the first part of this four-day series I'm going to be dealing with in the area of the power of the vision and how God has declared it. When we look at the book of Habakkuk, we talk a bit about it on Sunday at our worship service for those who are with us. And we went over to the area of Habakkuk dealing with chapter 2, and it was talking about Habakkuk declared and decreed that in the second chapter of Habakkuk, he said, I will stand upon my watch and set upon my tower. Now he's speaking, and I will watch to see, and he will say unto me, what shall I answer when I am approved? Now let's think about that real, let's think about this real closely as we talk about this. Habakkuk declared, I will stand upon with my watch. I will stay in my lane. Set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me individually. Is him. God has given each and every one of us the ability to receive the vision that he has in store for us. This is the vision God has given you. Most of the time we receive a vision. Let me want to finish this on. I will set upon and what he will say unto me, and what shall I answer when I am approved, reproved in the name of Jesus by declaring the word of God. I want to speak that and say that that reproving part is that the word of God goes back over to the book of Psalms 84:11. He talks about no good thing withhold from those who walk upright. And God commands and declares his word according to the book of Psalms 89:34 that he won't revert against his covenant. So, of course, we got a lot of scriptures we can declare and decree that God does not lie according to, you know, Mark 9:23. You know, faith coming, you know, it talks about the faith in him that believed all things are possible. We go over to look at Numbers. So many different things that God affirms his word. He said he exalt his word above his name. But before we kind of go into the book of James and kind of get really just kind of settled in the process of dealing with the power of the vision, God really declares and decrees that even as Habakkuk began to speak the word, that he will stand upon his watch. And we talked about how the prophet is always a representative watchman for the kingdom of God. He's a watchman and he's a watcher. He's a watchman and a watcher consistently. And he looks for the safety and welfare for God's people, watching and receiving the information that comes from the God in a prophetic influence. It's always in a position when God brings a word into the land. We know it. The book of Amos 3:7 says that God reveals a word. He only brings a word into the land as he brings it through his prophets. We see all through the word of God that God has been given vision and dreams for years for those who have an ear to listen and for how to mind to comprehend and understand what God is saying. He also talks about that a little bit in the book of Romans 12:2. He talks about the calling, even as we look at the process of Habakkuk in chapter 2. He kind of coalitions that, but really when you look at Romans and talks about the beseeching, you brother, by the mercies of God. Well, Habakkuk's pretty much in the same calling at the same moment, but when we go back over to the area of Habakkuk chapter 1, we want to look at how he got to the point over here in chapter 2. We're not going to go through the whole book of Habakkuk chapter 1, but we want to look at some of the first increments of what he's saying here. He talks about the burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. Now, Habakkuk saw a lot of things that was going on that wasn't pleasing to his eyes, and knowing he served a God. And he's trying to figure out, how are these people and how are they getting over to the point they are getting over? And here I am being your prophet. I'm your man. Yet I'm seeing the violence and the wicked of the people come up around me. But yet when I cry out to you, I don't receive anything of hope. Now, we got to catch this, because we read it once again in the book of Habakkuk. Now, don't you see what he's saying? The burdens. Habakkuk's worrying about the wrong thing. He's God's prophet, but he's worrying about what other people are doing, not standing in his lane and keeping his vision in what God has told him to do. And this is what the problem we have sometimes in the body of Christ, and even as individuals, even I had it, looking to see what other man has plateaued to and hoping that we can get the quick fix as well, not knowing that the labor they had to go through to receive what they've got, what they have come to. You know, nobody knows that when you go through stress in your life, stress is a part of making you, and in God's process of making you, it's just like dirt. You know, and when we talk about haters, people who dislike you, when God begins to bring you up. But nobody knows the journey that you had to go through to get to where you are. Sometimes we get to the point we try to piggyback off of somebody else, and we end up being like what Habakkuk said, because we never walked in the vision that God originally designed us to be. And you hear me say all the time, you can't have a dual vision. You can't have anybody else's vision. You can't have any other minister's vision, any other prophet's vision. When you look at all the prophets, you look at Ezekiel, look at Abraham, Elijah, all of these guys, Obadiah, Moses, all these guys, Joshua, Caleb, all these guys was individually unique in their own way that God created them. They never tried to piggyback off of anybody. They was all designed to do the work what God called them to do. And here it is that we see in the book of Habakkuk, and I'm just getting some inklings here trying to get you to familiarize to what's going on. You're never designed to be like anybody, because God never made you to be like anybody. It goes back to the book of Jeremiah 1-5. He talks about the performance, where he designed, he engineered you in the belly of your mother, even before you came forth. Man could never give you a gift. God said he designed and engineered you the way he created you to be. And whatever gift he gave you, whatever gifting he gave you, it's all by the same spirit. We read it over in the book of 1 Corinthians. And over there in that 12th chapter, he talks about the manifestation of the spirit. He's given each and every one of us the prophet with all. What is the prophet? To be able to, no matter how you receive the gifting, it's all through the Holy Spirit. No matter how many talents you may have, it all comes through the Holy Spirit. Habakkuk finds himself in a burden right here. He said a burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Now that's a burden. He's worrying. And the Bible declares, according to the book of Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 2, it talks about, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry?" For what, Habakkuk? For what, Charles? For what, whoever else is out there? Your ministry is designed to be just what God wanted to be. They're going to throw dirt on you, but they don't understand that dirt is nutrients. That every flower and every plant, before it comes out of the ground, it's got to grow under before it comes up. In other words, when they throw dirt on you, it's nutrients to make you grow. See, dirt has nutrients. See, it's called soil, really. But when they throw it on you, it's designed for you to get the very nutrition that they need. See, it's God shapes you and he molds you in unique ways. And God says, my ways, your ways, my thoughts, your thoughts. We see it over in the book of Isaiah 55, 8 through 10. Talks about my thoughts and your ways, my ways, your thoughts, and far from the heaven. God really means that. But when God created you and designed you, he never meant you to be a duplicate of anything. When God made you, he threw the mold away. So Habakkuk found himself in a burning position like most of us do, crying and wonder why are we trying to get to somewhere that God never designed us to go to, because we're trying to piggyback off the top of other people who actually went before us. And sometimes when you begin to go across, when you begin to follow, another blind person, it's just like the blind will lead the blind. See, most people feel that they got to get their performance and accolades off the top of somebody else to make them successful. But as I say once again, it ain't about the size of the building you have. It ain't about the size of the crowd you entertain. When you really understand a vision when God gave you, I'm telling you, when you got a vision, you won't sleep. When you got a vision, it'll make you go when you want to lay down. It'll make you get up in the middle of the night. You talking about you can't sleep? God said, well, you ain't going to get no rest until you do what I designed you to do. Most people who walking in there, what they call their vision, the reason they can't sleep and get rest because they're still trying to duplicate off of what somebody else is doing. Now, Habakkuk says over here, again, in Habakkuk chapter 1, before we go back to chapter 2, he says, oh God, how long shall I cry? Cry for what? And I shall not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence. Talking about the people who got it going on before him from the physical standpoint of view. He can't stand to see that. Because somebody else is ahead of him. He thinks that because he's God's man that he ain't got to go through nothing. But the devil blesses. I hear people say all the time, I'm blessed and highly favored. Yeah, you are. You may be blessed and highly favored. Remember, the devil give out gifts too. So while you saying you're blessed and highly favored, you still got the same kind of fruit coming about, different kind of fruit coming about your mouth, excuse me. The word of God declares that bitter and sweet is not supposed to come out of the same fountain, but it does. But then you come back around and say, I'm blessed and highly favored. Or really, are you? Look at the similarity of what Habakkuk was saying. Habakkuk's worrying about the wrong things. He's worrying about the wrong crisis. If God gave Habakkuk a vision, he's not to worry about whoever who's around him. His job is to focus on the plan of what God's given him. How long, he says over in chapter 1 and verse 2 of Habakkuk, how long, O Lord, shall I cry, and thou shalt not hear? Hold on, Habakkuk. My ears are deaf to the rebellion. You know, those who rebel against me, I can't hear you, Habakkuk. Because why? You got a problem with verse 1. You're burdened and worrying. I can't deal with you. You got stress going on with you. Worried about something that I never told you to do. How long would I cry and you not hear me? Unto violence are thou not saved. Why does they show me iniquities and cause me to behold grievance? For the spoils of violence are before me, and they rise up in strife and contention. He's seeing all this stuff going before him. He still ain't got it yet. God is still superior. He's still designed. He's still engineered. He still commands. He said he's all his word above his name. The Bible declares in Crete, God's word will not go back void. He has already accomplished all that near the end. The problem is that we do opposite of Mark 9:23. The Bible said to him to believe all things are possible. When you realize and understand that God gave you a plan according to Jeremiah 1:5, your vision is already in place. Your job is to sit down, pray, get in a quiet place and ask God, what vision do you have for me? Quit trying to wear somebody else's shoes. And then when you do wear somebody else's shoes and you learn to get out of them when you're supposed to get out of them, don't worry about it because they took them back because they never belonged to you anyway. Some of us borrow somebody's shoes that didn't even belong to us. We try to walk in their shoes and know we ain't supposed to even be there. And we don't know what's in those shoes. You probably didn't deodorize them or spray them at all. That's why you're having problems with them. And they stinking on you because God never designed that shoe to fit you. When God give you a vision, he gives you a very tailored vision. And that vision is tailored for you. It is not due to what a person look like and what they may think about you. It's because God told you. Go back over here and look at the verse 4 over here in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1. And we'll move back to chapter 2 here in the book of Habakkuk. He said, therefore the law slacketh. Why does the ball slacken, Habakkuk? Because you don't see the things that you see with your eyes and God is doing anything about it? And the judgment dues never go forth. Hold on a second. God is merciful and graceful. The only problem I got is you, Habakkuk. You're the one not standing in your lane. You're not doing what I'm telling you to do. So why you not seeing me punish the wicked, you saying the law slacks and the judgment doesn't go forth. So you want me to beat down everybody, even the ones who's talking about me and looking at me as if I ain't got what it take to get an overflow from the kingdom of God. God said, dirt makes you, stress makes you. I mold you and make you. Just like he told Jeremiah in chapter 18. Look, go down to the potter's house and look how he makes the potter. And the Bible declares, can't I do what you, Habakkuk, and everybody else that was I wish? God said, I will break you to make you. When you're being broken, God will use certain things against you to help you. He'll put stress on you to a point that you can't even understand why it's going on. But God is steady molding you behind the scene. When you talk about the process of a beautiful tree, a beautiful flower, it always grows under before it grows up. And really, when you think about something beautiful, in order to get something beautiful, you got to put dirt on it. I don't think you caught that. It takes dirt to blossom something beautiful. These beautiful flowers and trees and fruit trees don't come up out of the ground until you put dirt on them. And after years, they establish themselves. That's why the word of God declares in the book of John, I'm the true vine. And God's the vine dresser. He dresses you. He designs you. He makes you what he wants you to be. We go on and we look over here in verse 4 of the book of Habakkuk. He said, for the law slacketh and judgment does never go forth. Bucker wants somebody to get whooped because he thinks he's an uprighteous person. And the Bible declares he takes the word of God when it say, touch not my anointed, do my prophet no harm. He got it twisted that God is merciful and graceful to everyone. You know, it's for everlasting. God loves the backslider. You may put some stuff out there that may grow later on in your life, but God said he'll still love you and take you back in. God will never turn his back on anybody. It's not his will that anyone would perish, but all would see Christ. He don't want anybody to go to hell. The Bible goes on in the book of Habakkuk chapter 4, and it says it, for the wicked do compress about the righteousness. We got that going on inside the house of God. not just on the outside, are the wicked acting the fool. They're acting on the fool on the inside the house of God. And they say they blessed and highly favored. So my point is this. When you go into the house of God, you got to really understand what the word of God is saying over the book of Jeremiah. And we can taxi over there, and I want to get you to see just what the word of God is talking about. Now, as a matter of fact, let's just move over. I got a few more minutes here. Let's move over to the book of Jeremiah and look at the book of Jeremiah. Let's see what he says about the process of when you come into the house of God, how you should compare or carry yourself when you come into the house of God. Now, let's look at Jeremiah. Let's go over here. Let's run over here right quick. I kind of like to, you know, kind of get things in order when I'm speaking about something, because I like to put the soothsayers aside because they don't understand. My revelation don't come from commentary line. It comes through the precious power of the Holy Spirit. God speaks to me. Sometimes I'll be sitting up in the room, it'd be just like another man sitting there talking, just like right now. God pipelines me what he want me to say to you. I am. It's not me speaking. It's him that's speaking through me. The Bible declares decrees, and we understand what it says over in the book of Habakkuk chapter 4, dealing with all the wicked has been compressing around each other, and how some of the things that God is not bringing judgment. Now, he said the law slacketh, and God is not pronouncing a whooping on these people like he proclaimed they should be. Well, he brings a very equal balance to what he says about even the people of Christ in the church. He said in the book of Jeremiah, he told Jeremiah the prophet, he said, look, go down there. Now I want you to stand in the gates over there in the second chapter. Let's look at it straight. Just read it out. The word of God came to Jeremiah saying, stand in the gates of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear ye the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, and enter to these gates for worship. Now he's talking to somebody. He's talking to us. But a buck is still complaining about something that he have no control over. See, when you start trying to want God to jump on all the wicked people, and you was once wicked yourself, talking and backbiting and doing things you're not supposed to do, but now you say you feel you done arrived, and now you feel like everybody around you should get punished because now you said a few scriptures and gave your life to Christ. Now you feel like you beyond everybody else. No, we can't do that. You can't do that. That's wrong. You can't go out there and kick, scratch, and bite and do everybody that's wrong. And all of a sudden you say a few words and you get saved. All of a sudden you look down at everybody else. No, you can't turn your nose up to everybody else. God says his will that no one go to hell, but everybody will come to Christ and be saved. The word of God goes to say over in the book of Jeremiah chapter 7 and second verse. And I'm saying once again in the second verse. He says, stand in the gates of the Lord's house and proclaim the word. Hear ye the word of the Lord, all you of Judah, to enter into these gates. Now, I'm not going to say in the third verse. Thus say the Lord, the host God of Israel, amen. That word right there, you got to get yourself together. You can't be like, nah, I'm not saying nothing wrong with what a buckle was saying, because God got him straight over in chapter 2. He said, amend your ways in your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. When you understand what it says in 1 Corinthians 11:28, that first let a man examine himself, you really understand that you got to get yourself together. You too busy pointing your finger at everybody else. And your life, see, it's hard enough to keep your own life in order rather than keeping somebody else's life in order. You tow up. You need to be checked. And so when you find yourself being what you call a finger pointer or looking upon somebody in such a way, I ain't got to use no big words. I'm talking plain to you. I ain't got to talk nothing over your head. You find yourself pointing your finger at everybody else rather than pointing them back at yourself and looking and knowing that you came from somewhere also. What the God says in the book of Romans, he said, we all fall short. Matter of fact, he says in Romans, what was that? Romans 3:10 through 12. He said, there's not one right. Comes back in Romans 3:23, he said, we all falling short. As long as you're in the flesh, you still going to be in sin. Even though you went to the altar and prayed, you still got sin in you. As long as you're in this flesh. Now, let me put it where you can understand it, how the man Pastor Pearson said it over there at Mount Olive Church over there in the city of Terrell, Texas. He said, the more I come to Christ, or the more I walk toward Christ, the more I become sinless. See, the more you work out, the better you get. You get in the gym one day, and then you don't want to go the next day. But then you go the next day, then you go the next day. Before you know it, all your days begin to come back to back. And then you find yourself on a regimen, on a routine. God wants you to get on a regimen when you come in his house. He wants you to be as one. The same way you're going, he wants you to be the same way when you go out. When you come in the same way, meaning that you're already blessed and highly favored and you're getting more strength to go out, he wants you to go out to the harvest because the harvest is truly great. Don't come in God's house being schizophrenic, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and then you run back out there and you be something else out in the streets. He says once again in verse 3 of Jeremiah 7. Now, we're talking about the vision of God. We're talking about the vision, how you need to prepare yourself. Now, this is just the first half of the relay. I just popped it out the blocks tonight because we ain't got into really about the developing desires and some of the areas about the developing success and consistency of dealing with a dream. We're talking about just the basics right now, how you need to prepare yourself and get in a position to receive from God, even when you don't see it. That's what he says in Hebrews 11. Faith does what? Okay, then. I can't see it, but I got to believe it. I know that God's going to do just what he says he's going to do because he says his word won't go back void. If he told me he has all his word above his name, then I have no choice but to believe him. The developer, maker of me, developer of the earth, he gave me dominion and power according to Genesis 1 and 26. So I got to believe that. And anytime I do opposite of that, I'm calling myself to roll back in rebellion. And that's why the blessings can't come up on your life because you keep walking schizophrenic. And James tells you the same things. Your mind is doubled up. Your mind is tripled. You know, you double-minded. You know, you like the waves of the sea. And then he tells you, really, that not think that man, you receive anything from God. Same thing he said in the book of Jeremiah 7. When you come in the house of God, you amend your ways in your doing. We're over in Jeremiah 7, verse 3. Saith the Lord, amend your ways in your doings. I will call you to dwell in spirit. What place? What place? The same thing happens to Habakkuk. In verse 1, he complained. In chapter 1, he complained. But in verse 2, he told him, look, Bucca, look, write the vision. We're going to get over there. Be the prophet that I call you to be. Always being a representative, being a watchman on the wall consistently. For the comfort and safety of the welfare of the people. Don't complain about them. Everybody's messed up. You are too, Habakkuk. You need help. But I chose you to do a work, hoping you will come around rather than complaining. And that's where it is. God's people really need to stop complaining. And really go out and help people, and you'll find your blessings will come quicker for you. Let's move. He says over in verse 4 of Jeremiah 7, trust not in lying words. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Saying the temple. The temple of the Lord are these. It ain't the building to get you anywhere. It's God wants you, when you go in the house of God, he says in verse 5, that you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings. If you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor. Look, treat your brother right. That's in the commandments. You read the first part of the commandment, it talks about your dealing with God one-on-one. That's the first five verses of the commandments, of the Ten Commandments. It talks about your relationship with Christ. Now, if you got any biblical understanding and sense about how the Ten Commandments goes, you will find out the second five words of the commandment deals with our relationship with man, with one another. The Bible class, according to verse 5 again in Jeremiah 7, if you thoroughly amend your ways in your doing, if you thoroughly execute judgment between man and your neighbor, if you oppress not the strength, don't talk about the people that ain't got nothing to buckle. Don't be putting your mouth on them because they're wicked. They still need to be saved. They need more people like you to bring forth the word to them. Because you in church and you my prophet doesn't necessarily mean you are executed for anything. You still got to do the work. But I'm using you as a conduit in the land to bring forth the word to the people that they may understand that I want them to go and horn out the vision in their heart, and horn out the vision with their mouth in the hearts of other people. Write it up on the tables of their heart. Speak to them. Let them know that you right there with them, that you got a word that's coming from the kingdom of God. But don't play games with them. But let them know that you're God, that you're sent from God. And beside the God you work with, there is no other. Who sent me? You tell them that I am sent you. That's what he's trying to get a buckle to see. He's trying to get you to see that you got the best buffer that you can have against the sins that you created in your life. And that was Jesus Christ, who died for the remission of your sins. If you could really catch the inclements of what he says over in Isaiah 53, he said, for look here, I was wounded for your transgressions. I was bruised for your iniquities. Now, you got to catch the words in there because everything Christ done was past tense. So why are you still tripping? Setting back and talking about people in such ways that you feel like you're a little bit better than everybody else. He died for everybody. We may have the right to the tree of life. But he thoroughly brings the word to Jeremiah, talking to the people who come into the house of God. He says over in verse 5 again, if you thoroughly amend your ways in your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between man and your neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, shed not innocent blood, doesn't mean physically, you can do it with your mouth, because the Bible says life and death is in the power of your tongue, and place neither walk after the other God, don't put no other God before your house, your home, or nothing. Your money, don't put nothing before me, because I am God. And there is no other. The Bible says, if you walk after, not after other gods or hurt, he declares in verse 7, he says, I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. And we already know what happened to them. He gave a word to them when they came out of Egypt. But he's not going up. He's not going back on his word. But the people who came out of Egypt, the first posse, the three million plus, not mentioned the mixed multitude, they the ones rebelled against the word of God. Well, why don't we go and elect another leader? And won't we go back to eating leeks and garlic? Let's go back to the taskmasters. Let's go back to Egypt. Rebelled. And God gave them just what they want. Matter of fact, they prophesied death on their own life. They said, why don't we go back to Egypt? Why don't we elect another leader? We're going to shut down God's leader. We're going to get us another leader. And let us rally and go back to Egypt. Okay, you're going to go around this mountain. And every time you go around this mountain, there's going to be a hump. That means somebody got buried every day when they went around that mountain. And that killing didn't stop until Moses put that very serpent on the stick. If you understand the serpent on the stick, you look at the medical industry, and that's the very thing you see on the medical industry is the serpent on the stick. Caused the biting to stop, the killing to stop of the serpents that was killing the folk. And all the ones of 21 on down survived. The ones 21 up, they got took out. Some say it was 25 up, but we know the division came. God put a division in that situation because he wasn't going to allow the people to go into the promised land with the Egypt mentality, complaining and bickering. And that's what God is telling us. How are you going to want me to give you what you need? And you understand what it says in Jeremiah 7 and 8. Then I will call you to dwell in this place, and I will give you the lands for you I gave for your father forever and ever. Behold, trust not in lying words that I cannot profit. The Bible says, if you steal and commit adultery, swear falsely, burn innocence to Baal, and they will burn enemies to the devil. And then say, you are called by my name in his house. No, the devil is a lie. He says in verse 10, and you are called to stand before me, and you said, this is a house in which we call. No, it ain't neither. You need to go back and see what he said in verse 9. You need to go back and see what he said in verse 6. You need to go back and see it in verse 5. And you're going to get a real good illustration. The same thing goes over in the book of Habakkuk. We go to chapter 2. I will stand upon the watch which I was set upon the tower, and I will watch and see what he will say unto me. He got humbled, if you read verse 1, because God began to declare, look, go stand on your watch. Go stand on your wall. I gave you a gift like I gave everybody, according to Jeremiah 1 and 5. You're born through the canal of a woman also, Jeremiah. And when you came to that canal, I developed the gift in you. And now I'm telling you, go stand upon the wall, upon your watch, and see what I will say unto you. And I will answer to be reproved. Look, if you got to be obedient, Habakkuk, if you're going to do this work. The word of God that said, the word came to Habakkuk over there, and then you look it over in the second verse, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that read it. The problem is you got people having church, but they don't write the vision down. You go to most churches, you can't even look at the vision. They even got the vision wrote out on the wall. They don't even recite their visions. The church don't even stand up and recite the vision. I like the way Pastor Ron Shaw over at Light Church over there, John West Freeway, you know, in the city of Mesquite. And how they get up and they recite the vision. I'm talking about consistency. That's what a vision is. It's not about the popularity, how many people you can get around you. It's about the consistency. I don't care if you got two people in your church. If you stay with consistent with the plan of God, you will see that house grow. They'll talk about you. They're going to throw dirt on you. But all you get to understand, all they're doing is giving you nutrients to grow. All they're doing is planting good fertilizer on you. Let them throw the dirt on you. Because when you spring out and you come forth, I declare by the word of God, they'll be mesmerized. The Bible said the same ones you see when they feel like you're going down, you'll see them on the way up. God said, I'll prepare your enemies before you. I'll make a dinner table before your enemies. God will prove to you and declare the decree that the vision he gave you is not a vision that will go void. The word of God declares over in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3. He said, for the vision is yet for appointed time. You may not know when your vision is going to take place. But if you got a dream, baby, you can develop a dream. If you can discover the awesome power of a dream. And know that you got to put it on paper and write it down and write that dream and dream about that dream consistently, you will see the power of God begin to develop in your mouth. Developing success, continuance, success, continuous to achieve a dream. I'm talking about speaking it day by day. That's why some people fail what they have. You want a husband? You want a wife? Speak it consistently. You want a better for you. You want your business better? You got to speak these things consistently. You want your ministry to grow consistently. You want your household consistently. Your money consistently. It takes consistent with a dream. It takes repetition. God trying to hit you with a blessing. He's trying to hit you dead center with a blessing. But you keep on jumping around. Why? Because of your inconsistency. You keep looking at things going on around you, whether look what God has called you to. See, there's a lot of people that God has put in my life. It's a lot of good men of God who were sons of mine, who was sons of mine, that was in my ministry. But somehow they couldn't understand how this man of God has the kind of power he had to attract me to him. And what they done, they wasn't sought other people to pull them out of the direction where God had them, because they didn't have the patience to wait. The Bible declared once again, for the vision is yet an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. When you move and you do what God is telling you to do strictly by the Spirit, you will know the person he put in your life is to help you move forward. One thing, and I got to get out of here, that you understand about a vision. God put people in your place for a season. The reason most of us falling from our season, because we keep on trying to hold on to the people that God put in our life just to pass through. God never designed you to stick with him. And the reason you never really get far as you're going, because you never finished out the task with the first one you had. And then you find yourself forever jumping, just jumping around. It's just like the word of God says over in Psalms 100. In Psalms 1, he said, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now notice what he's saying now. And his law, Joshua 1:8, does he meditate day and night? When you meditate, you get pipeline visions and dreams from God to what you should be. You should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Trees that keep on jumping up, moving around, trying to get their own success overnight. One of those microwave blessings, they'll never get it. There's a lot of good men, young ministers, has came through this ministry and has failed and gone fail because they failed to follow direction in consistency. There are some people, the part of this ministry is obedient, they're diligent, they're praiseworthy. They pray for us, we pray for them, and they've seen success in their life. They don't have sickness. They don't have disease. They don't have a crippling ministry or nothing. I'm telling you, I may not be the one you need to be with, but I'm telling you, when God puts somebody in your life and then you speak out of your mouth that God put them there and then you rebel against that command, you better watch out. Because I'm telling you, going back to the bottom can be a hard task. And I'm telling you, most of the people in ministries, and not just this one, who come across ministries and want them to be fathers and help them out to seek them for, they can't follow direction. It's like a play called in the huddle. You will constantly get out there and run the wrong play, and you'll get yourself knocked out. And you got to get right back off the ground, put your mouthpiece in, straighten your helmet up, and go right back to the huddle with your raggedy self, and you got to start all over again because you failed to follow the direction which God has told you to move in. But even as I speak now, I can feel in the spirit, there's some hard heads. They're not even listening to this. They don't want to hear. That's why you never give everybody everything you got. Because some people don't really want nothing. They just really want to kind of test you and see where you are. For they can go back and say what they need to say about you. But that's why you never let your deepest secrets, your deepest powers go. Because whatever they asking for, whatever they needing, they never really wanted it anyway. Because they don't have the stick-to-itism. And that's why most people can't get successful in where they are. Even when you look at their tenure, you look at their house, the vision is not right. They can't write a vision. They say the words, but they can't write the vision. The Bible said, write it and make it plain. That means each day you come into your house, it ought to be a recited vision in your house on a daily basis when you have service about what you need to take place in that house. You got to engrave the vision into their head spiritually. The Bible said, write the vision has been a visionarier or the visionarian. And then you got to cite that vision day by day in the minds of your people. That's why I love the Light Church. They write the vision. I mean, they speak the vision every Sunday. Them people get up and recite the vision because they know what's in their heart. People who fail to do that, you watch their ministry. It may have a bunch of people around there, but it ain't going nowhere. It's just a matter of time. They'll just forever be going through and never having nothing. They just get up every day, go before the throne of God, and what they do, they just speak a word. They never have no kind of demand or consistency in that house whatsoever. It's just a gathering of a bunch of people and have no kind of determination and no leadership skills whatsoever. They don't have anything. Because why? They fail to have the success of a consistent vision. And a consistent vision brings achievement to whatever you're doing. Don't surround yourself with negative assumption people. People who look at you from the physical standpoint of it and not looking at you spiritual. They'll always pull you down. I thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining me on the first part of this relay that I'm bringing out, dealing with the power of the vision. We're going to be dealing with some things on this coming on tomorrow, dealing with the area of developing the desire or desired dream of fortunes of the vision. And there's a lot of good things God has given us to speak about some of the things in this particular time which you're in. Sometimes you got to learn how to stand in Christ and you got to be faithful in what God has called you to. God bless you. God keep you. Thank you for guys joining me here at Harvest of Life Church and Harvest of Life Studio. It's always a blessing. I hope this was an encouraging word to help you in your walk with Christ. God bless you.
Listen, I don't need you to be tired now. I need those of you that want to help.
I call you holy, your name is holy, you are so holy to me.
Somebody say,
I call you holy, your name is holy, holy you are, and holy you
be. Come on, I want you to raise your voice all throughout this room. Let the world hear you here from the right church. Say,
I'm just a